All right, today we are talking to Douglas Poor. Doug is a lifelong resident of Harrington. He spent his life as a public servant. He's also a member of the Volunteer Fire Company and a recently retired paramedic of some 30 years. And today, Douglas serves as the curator for the Greater Harrington Historical Society. Now, having always had a passion for some history, he's taken on his new role with the same zeal that he used as a public servant, and he's written a book. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us. So what is the name of this book? And take me back. What inspired you to even think about writing a book?
The book is called Harrington Through Time. And I've seen other similar paperback books such as this in different bookstores that highlighted different small communities and other events that have happened around our country. And our town is very rich in history. It's our 150th anniversary here in the city. So it kind of all flowed together to motivate me to share our town story.
Well, talk about some of that history.
Well, the town was actually founded way back in the late 1600s on a land grant by William Penn. So, of course, we're going way back in time when the grant was done. And then it stayed just a little small country crossroads until the railroad came to town, which changed a lot of this state. The whole peninsula saw huge increases in population, in money. It's amazing if you go to some of the small towns, I'm talking 500 people up and down the railroad tracks in on the Delmarva Peninsula, they have banks that at one time would see, it wasn't uncommon for $5 million to run through one of these banks at the peak of agricultural season around the 1900s.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and our town was certainly in on that between the number of canneries, because everything used to be canned before frozen foods came along, and garment industry. So this town has seen a lot of history roll through it, for lack of a better description, with the railroad. It started as a stagecoach stop. So it's been a transportation hub since it was created. And I wanted to just share that with people that lived here maybe most of their life and didn't realize it, or new citizens that have come to town.
All right. Now, I was raised never to ask a man his age, so I won't ask you your age. But you are a lifelong resident of Harrington, and you just outlined some of the changes that happened in Harrington over the years. Name some others. I'm sure there are many, many more.
It's an amazing. By the way, I'm 56. I don't care. it's an amazing change that as any small town America. Back in the 20s and 30s, they were very self-sufficient. There was no World Wide Web. You couldn't shop on Amazon. You didn't go to Walmart. These towns were all self-contained. There at one time was both an opera house and a large movie theater here. The owner of the movie theater was renowned up and down the East Coast as being the guy who was always on the forefront, first to have air conditioning, first 3D movie shown in the state of Delaware. People would bring their cars to town Saturday morning and then go back home only so they had a place to park Saturday night.
Wow.
It was not uncommon that the streets would be crowded till midnight with people sharing stories, visiting, having an adult beverage or a Coke, eating peanuts, just sitting and talking, something that is lost quite a bit today. We do it on our cell phones and by email, and there's something to be said about just sitting around and chewing the fat as it used to be. And that's how a lot of these towns were. And we've lost some of that small town community feeling in a lot of cases. But that's how the town really had that neighborhood. And quite a bit of it still exists. I mean, you go in there's three places, I call them the old guys' coffee clubs, around town, that still happens quite a bit. I mean, they go in, they have their group, they sit, they chew the fat. And some of that still exists in our town, and it's a very hometown feeling still, quite a bit. But it has grown, it has changed. We have different businesses in now, more transient folks. They live here, but they go to work in other cities, due to convenience and where corporations are. But it still has that small town feel, even at 150 years old.
Well, you're definitely a walking wealth of information. Want to remind everybody we're talking to Doug Poor. He's a lifelong resident of Harrington. He's written a new book. It's called Harrington Through Time, A Hometown Story. What makes Harrington special? If somebody walked up to you on the street today and said, why Harrington? What makes your town so special?
I think it is that small town feel. Neighbors helping neighbors. When I grew up as a kid, one of my favorite stories is there was a group of little old ladies that lived on my block. And I was like 6 years old when mom sent me to the local market to buy whatever it was. And it never occurred to me until a few years after that, why all the old ladies were out on their porch. Because mom had called them all to make sure I crossed the street the right way.
to make sure that you were doing what you were supposed to do.
And God forbid, even as I got older and would screw up as every kid would do, you know, the stories would beat me home.
Yeah, okay? You still had to go home to mom.
And answer for those stories.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But, and so that, whether it's in our churches or in our fire company, that town, that sense of town and community still very much exists here. And that's what makes Harrington. A couple just moved in recently to town and purchased the old Wheeler's Park property, and they're redoing it as a green space to let people visit. But that's what they have said. They've already fallen in love with the place, and it's because of that kind of sense of community and in belonging that we seem to offer, and a lot of small towns do. We're not alone in that, but it's certainly a nice thing to see.
What's the population of Harrington?
It's about 3,900 people right now, give or take, maybe 4,000.
Walk me through the book, if you will. We're talking again to author Doug Poor. He's a lifelong resident of Harrington, and he's written a book, Harrington Through Time, A Hometown Story. Walk me through the book. You were gracious enough to send me a copy. I must admit, with my busy schedule, I haven't had time to read it properly. I've thumbed through it. I've noticed there's a lot of old-timey pictures. Where did they come from?
Most of them came from our museum here in town, the curator of which I am, and they were gracious enough to let me use them. The photos came from them and from citizens, some from the state archives, who has a large collection of our photos, and Hagley Museum as well. But most of them we have in our museum. We've been blessed over the 40-plus years it's existed that citizens would leave stuff to the museum, would want to keep that history here. So I sorted through them with a lot of input from members of the historical society, what we liked and what I knew was still here. That's what that book tells, is a story of what it looked like in 1880 or in 1920, and then what it looks like today. And that's what that book is based around.
What are you most proud of besides the overall book? I mean, this is your first book, right?
It's actually the second. I did another one for a sister publisher of this company. And it's a pictorial history. I'm actually under contract for 7 total books with them. I just submitted my next one, so you and I can chat again on the railroad history of Delmarva, which is just fascinating to read and to learn more about how it changed the whole peninsula. It's just an amazing story, and that's proof with our town.
What was your first book?
The first one was it was a pictorial history of Harrington. It was different black and white pictures than most of what's in the book, and it told more of the history of the town. From that aspect. And it stopped in about 1970 as far as photos went. So this kind of picks that up and continues on to a modern time. So they're kind of, they play off one another very well.
All right. So what are you most proud of? I mean, you're an author. You're very well known in the town of Harrington, I'm sure. What are you most proud of, Doug?
Gosh, that's a tough question because I'm not like that kind of person. I would have to say, personally, just my community service and my service for the time I've been involved with the fire company and as a paramedic. Very few people, as I say, get to make a difference in people's lives, and I've been able to say that over my personal career. As far as my involvement in the community is just that. It is listening. I love sitting back and listening to the, and I hate to say the word old-timers, but you get what I mean. We've invited them into the museum, or I go to the senior center and visit with some of them to listen. And I just absorb the stories, and they are so cool to listen to them talk about the old steam engines that would come to town. Because then you can watch them, their eyes light up, and they have a blast talking. And I just get to I get the privilege of sitting there listening to these folks relive this stuff, and it's wonderful to do.
What else do you want people to know about your book?
That the profits from the book, and I shouldn't say they're profits, all the books that I am writing, the proceeds are going back to the museum. I'm not going to make my own private island out of any of this. Not that I could anyway, off the residuals. But we're using profits from the book to expand the museum. We're looking at about a $1.2 to $1.5 million expansion project that we've just started. Because of the wonderful generosity people have shown to us and the artifacts they've given us, and people are getting more involved in genealogy and wanting to know their own history, we need that room. I told them as I wrote these books, as I asked for permission to use these photos, that's what my goal is to give this back to the community, to give the community that icon of its city that it can be proud of and for generations to come, long after I'm gone.
I have my copy of the book. Where can people get a copy of the book?
They can either log on to ArcadiaPublishing.com and just search Delaware, and there's about 6 pages in the books there. Or they can visit us at the museum, and that's what we encourage everybody to do. Not that I love people asking me to sign them, and I chuckle. I'm like, yeah, my signature's not going to add to the value. Trust me, this is not going.
The price will go up and up and up.
Edition. please visit us at the museum. That way, you can see a lot of this stuff firsthand. You can ride around the town. There's a little app called Clio. It's an app that museums like ours that are small can create walking or riding tours around town, and we've created one with a lot of these places so they can go visit them and spend a day visiting our town, seeing the businesses, seeing the places. So that's what's great about the book is it promotes that as well, and it gains the museum some financial assistance as well.